Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for spending these next few minutes with me. Last week, we started listening to my talk with Becky Russell. If you did not hear it, I highly recommend you go back and listen to episode 362 before continuing with this one, since we are picking up with the third and fourth thoughts about our worldview, which affects our spiritual foundation, which has a lot to do with how we handle the suffocating darkness after the death of our child. Now, since I did a formal introduction to Becky last week, I'm not going to do that again, but I do want to remind us of what we talked about. We heard Becky share about her daughter, Jay Lynn, and the accident that took her life and two of her friends. We heard about the way Becky's faith was shaken after Jalen's death, and we started looking at the four parts of our worldview that can have such an impact on how we process our grief. So far, we've talked about origin and morality, so let's go ahead with the rest of my talk with Becky.
Now we'll go on to meaning. So we have Okay. Origin, we have morality, and now we're at meaning, another single word element. And what is the meaning of my life, or what is the meaning of life? For me, that's very clear. When I do my devotional and my quiet time in the morning, my prayer is that I will serve the Lord, and I do that through serving other people. So that's He allows me the ability and opportunities to help people, just like I watched my parents help the people in their culture and their day and their circle of influence. I'm not a world changer in that, you know, I'm not a Mother Teresa or a Pope or anything like that. But what I have is several hundred friends in my sphere that oftentimes need me. And so when I find that when I help them, when I do things like what you and I are doing today, when I see what you're doing, when I see what our food pantry does at our church or a grief support group does for our community, it's investing in other people who are hurting and who need a little help to go along the way. That gives me such satisfaction, and that makes my life worthwhile. And I feel like it gives me meaning. Now, if I just set up and I was going to, you know, my job was to work and to get cars, fancy cars, and, you know, high-tech equipment, travel the world, have a yacht, you know, throw parties for people, that'd be great. I wouldn't mind at all. The Lord give me those opportunities. But I don't know that that's going to sustain them, the people that find their meaning and their life's purpose in moments like that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that it's not satisfying for long term. It's like then you need more of this or more of that. You know, this used to make me happy and satisfy me. It used to give me meaning, but now it just doesn't anymore.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. And, you know, I find some of my most inspiring moments have come from funerals and to where I'm at a funeral and I hear people talk about, this person helped me so much in my life. And I can see, you know, the just the ripple effect of an important and an authentic and a meaningful life that has influenced other people versus there was one funeral that I went to that everyone struggled to find something good to say about
how sad.
It was so sad. And I left that funeral inspired to live different than he did. And so it's like what gives my life meaning is investing in the Lord and finding out and serving him through the opportunities he gives me around.
Can you just real quick, it makes me think about the bereavers that it's like, well, I used to have meaning in my life. And I since my child died, I have no meaning in my life anymore.
Oh, good question and good thought, because I also deal with that in the grief groups that I kind of facilitate. You know, I've had that often, and it's not always received well. But to me, self-help, self-care begins with serving others. That is self-help 101. If you go to AA meeting, you know, that's one of the first steps is you got to start helping other people. And since in my worldview, that is where I find meaning. I found that that was helpful to my hurting heart.
When you lift someone else up, it lifts you up, even if it's just giving someone a smile that you're walking past.
Yes, it does. And I had somebody openly confront me, actually at one of the national gatherings, when I talked about reaching out to other people. They they just blistered me in the question and answer. And she said, are you saying that at the lowest point of my life, now I have to go out and find things to do? And I said, yes, that is what, I can only speak from my experience and my experience and watching the experience of people all around me. That is helpful. Now, it's not often complicated. I mentioned, you know, when I gave my talk at the gathering just a couple weeks ago, that sometimes that meant finding somebody lost in the hallway at my place of employment and saying, are you lost? Can I help you? And then I would just walk with them to that's the kind of life preservers that got me through each day. Is it wasn't complicated. It wasn't orchestrated. It wasn't detailed, and I didn't have
It wasn't starting some foundation.
Right.
Or starting a support group.
Once again, don't have fun with that. But it was, Lord, give me somebody to encourage today.
Yeah,
that is doable, I think, in no matter where we are.
And if you feel like I can't do that, it's like, well, you can't, but God who is still in you can.
That's right.
The
That's
Holy Spirit who is still in you can open your eyes to just someone, you know, that whole pay it forward. If you're running through a drive-through, offer to pay for the car behind you. I mean, they're just, it's endless. It is endless. The little things you can do to help someone. Someone dropped something and you pick it up for them. You're helping them.
And, you know, Robert Niemeyer, who is just one of my favorite grief experts and theologians, and he is in Memphis, I think, somewhere near the Children's, one of the Children's Hospital in Memphis. But anyway, he talks a lot about grief. And he said, support groups and little moments like what you and I have just talked about, he said, does that get you all the way through the grief journey? No. What it does is props you up for a few moments. Maybe a half a day, he says, and then the next day you have an opportunity to do something like that again, and it props you up and it gets you through. It's almost like you're in a long line and you're standing, your legs are tired. Suddenly there's a chair and you can sit and rest a minute, and then you're ready to move on. You know, I had people that I have talked with. I don't want to say counsel because I'm not a counselor, but that I would talk to at length, and I would say, what about this? They would describe the hopelessness that you said and or that we've talked about. And I'd say, what about doing this? And they'd say, I've tried that. I can't do that. Okay. What about this? No, I've tried that. That won't work. What about this? And so essentially they've gone into a room and they've painted the floor and they've painted themselves right into a corner, and they cannot get out. That is beyond what I can help. That's beyond what you can do. That's going to take a professional, and that's going to take some kind of personal breakthrough for them. It's like, I'm going to have to get out of this corner, and nobody can do that for me.
I think it's kind of coming to that moment where I can't live the rest of my life in this kind of pain. I have to figure out, I mean, it's like, and unfortunately, some bereavers I know will do that for 10 years.
Yes, they will.
10 years. And it's, I do too. They have just decided life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. Life is not worth living because their child isn't here. And I know maybe we all struggle with that at the beginning, but we do get to a point where we start making choices. Am I going to stay in this place of pain and darkness? You know, and you know, 10 years later, look back and say, oh my goodness, look at all the time I wasted. Look at what I missed because I was still refusing to believe that I could come out of the darkness and have meaning again. And like I say, it's not in spite of our child's death. It's because of their life. Our life is worth living because our child lived. And not stay stuck in the moment of their death. I mean, to me, that's like, why would I want to honor the fact that Becca died? I want to honor the fact that she lived by the way I live my life. And it's not the pain it's not the pain that keeps us attached. It's the love that keeps us connected. So there's just so much to this.
Absolutely. Well, there was a moment that I put, now this was way before I was even articulating worldview, but it was fairly early in my grief that I, actually wrote on my mirror with a dry erase marker, "What now?" And I looked at that two or three times a day as I would go into my bathroom mirror, you know, brush my teeth or getting ready or whatever. And it kind of, what it did is put it back on me. What are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
And, and so that's it.
Well,
that's
even,
where,
you know, where, and even that, what now, God?
Yes,
what now,
yes.
God? How are you going to bring me out of this darkness? What now, God? How are you going to take that stupid verse from Romans that says you work everything out for good? How are you going to take the death of my child and turn it into something good in my life? Well, it's not that their death is going to become good, but it's a miracle. God is into working miracles.
It is. It is. And the miracle is that we survive it. You know, the pain is so incredibly intense. And you think, I can't do anything except just breathe in and out and then try to exist and go to bed tonight. But if for me, I watched other bereaved parents, and I had saw or had seen that they had entered back into life. And that they laughed again, and that they had some joy, and that they weren't sidetracked completely by the death of their child. And I thought, if they can do it, I can do it. So, and they all would say, time changes the grief. And I couldn't comprehend that because I thought, Jay will always be gone. Therefore, I'm going to always feel this way. But it was true. I just kind of held on to the truth of the foundation of my faith that God would make all this right. And what I was watching in my friends who had lost children and who were found a good life again.
Right. And I think, too, along with that time, it's what we do with that time that changes things. You know, if we just let ourselves be backed into that corner, time isn't going to do anything except extend the misery and the hopelessness and the darkness. But it's what we do with our time. So let's go on to the fourth one, which I believe is destiny.
Destiny. That's right. So we've got origin, we have morality, we have meaning, and now we go to destiny. And that is what happens after I die. I had always heard about heaven, sung songs about heaven, you know, my family, singing family, you know, I'd seen artwork about heaven, about angels, and we sing songs and that creates mental pictures in our minds. But when Jay went to heaven, when she died, I thought, she's gone to heaven. I knew she was there. And I thought, what I know about heaven isn't comforting me anymore, because I had kind of pictured it as a sterile place with not a lot of activity. And so I really began to focus on the ultimate destiny, which is the afterlife for me. That is heaven. And people that have a worldview, when you talk about what is the destiny of your life, some people don't believe in an afterlife, they believe in like reincarnation, or they believe that all people go to heaven, or we have purgatory. So there's lots of different, but for me, it is life continues after death here on this earth. Not only that, but love continues.
Yes.
Heaven is a place of unfathomable love and continuation of relationships. Different. I don't know how that'll be, but I do know that with God, he doesn't ever put things in front of us that takes us backwards in our experience. It's always better. He always takes us to a place that is better than we could have ever imagined. And that's in my spiritual walk, that's in my family, that's in the blessings of my life. And I have no doubt that that will be in heaven, that when I get there, it's like, oh, if I'd only known, it would be good. I wouldn't have worried so much about trying to stay alive.
Right.
And, So I really kind of had to.
I wouldn't have wished so much that my child was back here instead of there.
Yes. Right. And you know, I talked about the origin of life, that I think God creates the space-time continuum. I think he's given us a little bit of indication that in heaven, 1,000 years is like a day. And so I think it's they're not there for years and years. For them, it's going to feel like they just got there and then we're right behind.
Yes. I believe that too. Yeah.
And we just don't have that concept.
Our finite mind can't comprehend that everything is based on time.
We're
before and after timelines. I mean, time is a big thing to us. We can't comprehend an eternity that has no time.
Right. But people that don't have a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, and they just believe that when you die, you go into the casket and you just turn to dust, or you're cremated, mm-hmm. or whatever, dust to dust. That was not very workable for me. That did not match anything that I could find any kind of hope with. And so right. people that think that, I am sorry that they don't have the hope of that, because
right. yes.
the origin, the morality, I mean, that what that does is provide a framework for this pain that I was able to kind of process it through. And I was able to kind of make some sense of this pain and put it on a different path and a direction. Whereas if you're struggling with any of those, you kind of flounder spiritually. And it took me, and it's easy for me to talk about it now looking back, but I'm telling you, the process was pretty ugly. And that's why I labeled that workshop you were at spiritual mayhem, because I was floundering and I never thought I'd be that way.
Right.
So the worldview has kind of helped me understand my own self and articulate to other people, especially the ones that are hurting.
Right, right. Now, someone presented you with the thought, as you were doing this floundering, to stop talking about what you don't believe and ask yourself what you do believe. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes. I had a close friend who happened to be a doctor of divinity there. I worked for a large healthcare system. I'm a nurse. And she was one of the head chaplains of our entire healthcare system. And she also was one of my close friends. And so she, when I would have these big theological discussions, my husband's a strong Christian man, dynamic Christian man, but he's not real deep thinker about things like this. He believes it. Mm-hmm. He don't need to question it. He don't need to process it, where I just got to overthink everything. And so I would ask him questions and he'd go, "It just is, honey. I don't doubt that." And so I needed someone who could kind of taught me through the spiritual concepts of, like, if God, you know, how can her destiny to be killed by an 18-wheeler on a country road at 16 years old? And so what is the meaning of this? And if God is good, what, mm-hmm. you know, so anyway, all the big concepts that I never thought I'd deal with, I brought to her and she would answer. And I'd say, "I don't know if I believe that anymore." And that's when she said, "Okay, I've heard you say that.
Now, can we put a pin in, just put a pause for that?
Yes.
I don't know if I believe that anymore." I mean, that's huge. And I think that's where a lot of bereavers
are.
That's where they are. I don't know if I believe that anymore.
Thank you for slowing us down right there. You are right. That is, it is a moment that I think we all kind of have to face.
Yeah.
It's like, where am I going to go with this pain? What am I going to do with it? What kind of framework am I going to put it in?
Yeah. It's like, God, I trust you, but who are you really?
Yes. Yes. I don't know this aspect of you, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure I like it.
Yeah. I don't know this side of God. This, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. So your friend, what did she tell you then?
She said, "Okay." She said, "I've heard you say you don't believe that." She said, "Why don't we just back up?" And she said, "Why don't you just tell me what you do know and what you do believe. And let's talk about what you're confident in. And let's, and that way we can go back to that." And I went, "That's a good idea," because I was at the time on faculty at a nursing school. And that's where I often started, with what's your assessment of your foundation. And let's talk about what are the facts. And so I began to write. Now, this was about a year to 14 months after Jay's death.
Very fresh.
Very fresh, very fresh, and still struggling so much in my spiritual realm. That was one of the more painful aspects, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Family was painful, you know, raising kids in this kind of grief was what kept me going, but it was painful. But being in my quiet time, and I wasn't able to get back in devotions, and my prayers consisted of, "What in the world is mm-hmm. happening in my life?" And so my prayers felt real futile, and I actually felt a little ambushed by God. It's like, "You were tricking me all of those years that I prayed for Jay Lynn."
Yes.
"And you knew that none of them were even necessary."
Yep.
And
what's
so
the point
like,
of praying for protection and safety if something like this is going to happen anyway?
Yes. Yes. We had to replace our car, of course, after Jay Lynn's accident. And I remember we were at the car dealership, and my husband said, remember I said he's real simple and straight. Mm-hmm. He said, "All right." He said, "Well, we think we're going to take this, but let's go home and pray about it." He said, "We'll call you tomorrow." And I went, "You pray about it." I'm not praying about it. I prayed about the other car that she got
Yeah,
killed in.
exactly. Oh, thank you for that kind of honesty. Yes.
I'm not praying about that stupid car. Get the car if you want it or don't. So anyway, back to my friend and how she kind of prompted me to talk about what I did believe. It ended up being pretty easy, and I think it was just kind of a God-inspired moment. And I put it in, for some reason, I put it into a format that was a little more formal, and I called it my manifesto. No idea where I got that word. I think I had recently read something about Martin Luther King and how he, nailed his theses, and someone called it a flaming man. I don't even remember. I don't remember. But I wrote it, and I've got it here. It's not terribly long, but there's about 8 points to it that
Yeah,
I would
please
like
read
to
it to
share with you.
us. Yes.
Okay. This is called My Manifesto, and I wrote this in 2005. And I'll have to say I've not changed it hardly a word since. It said, "Be it hereby resolved that I serve a God who never changes, never has, never will. His nature is not dependent on my understanding, and my view of him will not be determined by my circumstances. Be it hereby resolved that God died a horrible death to save me from eternal damnation. He chose to save me because I was incompetent, helpless, and hopeless. For some inexplicable reason, I appeal to him in this state, and his love for me is a gift. Be it hereby resolved that I will never forget my capacity to sin, and that I will always be amazed at his capacity for grace. Be it hereby resolved that I am a powerful person because the King of Kings delights to make me strong. Living by faith, I choose to live in the power of the moment rather than regret my past or fear my future. My life may be exciting and satisfying, but not necessarily comfortable or safe. Be it hereby resolved that my life will demonstrate love and grace more than any other virtues. I may consider, but I will not be stifled by rules, religion, denominations, or conservatism. Be it hereby resolved that my home is where he is, and by his design I live here, and he dwells in me. However, soon my residence will be in a different dimension, and I accept these truths even though they are a mystery to me. This is the last one. Be it hereby resolved that my life will continue after I die on this earth. Death holds no power over me or the ones I love. I will never stop longing for the place which I have never been."
That's wonderful. It's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Wow. I encourage those who are listening to rewind this and close your eyes and just soak in that. Is this what I believe or not? And maybe even use that as a springboard to write your own manifesto of
Absolutely.
what you
Absolutely.
believe.
Articulate your worldview and then
Yes.
write your manifestation manifesto because of
Yes,
it.
yes. And then send me an email with it. I'd love to read it. I'll send it on to
Okay.
Becky.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be
I'd love that
wonderful.
too. I would love that too.
Well, Becky, I think we need to wrap this up.
Okay.
It's been such a good conversation.
Has been.
Thank you so much for sharing with me and the listeners. Is there anything else that you just want to share before we wrap this up? Any final thoughts?
All of your listeners out there, I'm sorry that you're going through this, that you had to even search for, a podcast like this. But I tell you, we're all walking each other home here. If I can help you, you reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook, Becky Russell, or you can find I have a blog associated with that Facebook. It's called Weepy Seeds, Weepy. Seeds, one word. And it was founded on the principle of those that sow in tears will reap in joy. And so I'd love to hear from you. Let me know you heard me here so that I can, put some context to our new friendship, even though it's on social media. And if I don't meet you before, I will see you in heaven.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I'll put a link to those in the show
Yes.
notes. So if you
Yes,
didn't
thank you.
catch it as she said that, you can just click on the link in the show notes. So I'm going to ask you one last thing, Becky. Would you please pray over the listeners?
Yes, I will. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Lord, since you are the God of all space and time, Lord, you understand this digital realm that we're in and that people listen at different times and at different places in their journey. Lord, that is no barrier to you. And so I ask that you, with the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts here, Lord, be pleasing to you and yes. that you work your work in whoever hears the words. Lord, that you will be high and lifted up and that you will do your healing work in people's hearts. Lord, if not for the rest of their life, but at least for today. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for the friendships that we make in this journey. All these things I ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Becky. It's just been wonderful. And hopefully we'll have a chance to have you back on.
I would love that. I would love that. Thank you, Laura. It's been a great time being with you today.
Uh-huh. Wasn't that manifesto powerful? I believe what Becky had to share with us is so important on this unwanted journey of child loss. I really hope you take the time to think through the four parts of the worldview that were given to us: origin, morality, meaning, and destiny. Take the time to really think about those and pray about what your beliefs are based on what you believe to be true about God and your relationship with Him. Write them down to be somewhat of an anchor when doubt and fear try to creep in. I think it will be a big help to you, and it could make all the difference in you being able to come out of that dark place and into a place of hope and light again. I'd like to share a special resource that was created specifically to support parents who are grieving the loss of a child. It's a free guide called Rebuilding Your Life, a gentle guide toward hope and healing after child loss. Now, when we talk about rebuilding your life, we're not talking about like some new life going on like your child never existed, because that's impossible. We're talking about getting to the place where you can survive again and then moving on from that. Just getting out of that place of suffocating darkness and being able to function again and then live life again in a way that brings your child with you. Now, this printable PDF guide offers compassionate encouragement for parents walking through deep grief. It talks about giving yourself grace as you grieve, releasing the pressure to move on, like some people think we should, finding connection with other bereaved parents, and discovering meaningful ways to honor your child's memory. It also includes gentle steps to help you walk with God through the grief and begin moving toward hope and purpose again, as I just said. If you would like to download the free guide, you can find it at gpshope.org. Just put in your name and the email address where you would like it delivered and submit it from the pop-up window that will appear, or you can click on the link in the show notes and go straight there. Spending time with others who have lost a child is one of the best things we can do. Being able to take off your mask and hanging out with others who get it. Another thing that can be helpful is getting away for a few days, not having any responsibilities, no cooking, no cleaning, just be. And attending a grief retreat with workshops, people who have been there, who can give you tools to help you gain a measure of needed healing. There's also traveling to beautiful tropical destinations. Now, I went on a cruise by myself just a few weeks after Becca died, and it was wonderful. And I'm so excited that we can offer this experience to you. In October of 2027, we are hosting the GPS Hope Grief Cruise. Now, Dave and I have been part of the grief cruises for 4 years. Lynn Finley is the woman. She lost a daughter, and she started these grief cruises 10 years ago. And this next cruise is being turned over to us. Now, we have our workshops and circles of hope and other things going on our days at sea. So you don't miss going if you want to do excursions at the ports of call. You don't miss any of that. Now, this is for any deep loss, such as a spouse, a sibling, or a parent, but we will also have special sessions and gatherings just for us as bereavers to get together. There will be a link in the show notes for more information, or you can go to gpshope.org/cruise. Now, be sure and let your friends and family know about it, since it is for any deep loss. Each week, we remember the children whose birthdays have been sent in for me to share with you, the listeners. We know that hearing our children's names and knowing that others are remembering our children with us can be very comforting. So let's go ahead with this week's birthdays. Corey Thompson was born on August 28th and is forever 28. Samantha Kesich was born on August 28th and is forever 22. If you would like to hear your son or daughter's name and have their birthday shared and have the listeners remember your child with you on a day that will always be an important day in your life, just click on the link in the show notes or go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill in and submit the needed information, and I would be honored to add them to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Now, you don't have to wait until it gets close to that day and try to remember to send it in. Just go ahead and send it in right away, because if you wait too long and it's too close, it might end up being missed, because I do pre-record these podcast episodes. Now, Dave will send you an email to remind you to listen that week so you don't have to worry about forgetting it. And in that email, there will also be a link to sign up for the following year if you choose to do so. We don't get to choose when our wounds heal, but we do have choices in how much we move in that direction. And one way we can move toward God, even in our confusion, our questions, and maybe even our anger, is to stop putting so much energy into what we don't believe and begin asking ourselves, what do I believe? You may not have all the answers you thought you once had. You may still be wrestling with God over things that just don't make sense. But what are the things you know that are still true? What are the things you can choose to hold on to even when your heart is hurting so much? Now, I hope and pray that one of those things is this, that it is possible to have a life worth living again. You don't have to know what that life will look like. You don't have to know how you're going to get there. You just have to begin by having hope and believing that it is possible. And maybe for today, that's enough. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.